Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Al Kushner.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation today. So Al, tell us, what is your hot take?
My hot take is my latest book out called The AI LinkedIn Advantage.
Okay, so tell us more about that. What is the AI LinkedIn Advantage?
Well, it's about a way to use AI technology in LinkedIn to help optimize your profile, how to do outreach, and how to be dominant on the platform so you can dominate the competition.
Okay, so I see about a million and one gurus out there who are like, oh, I've got the secret, I've got the hack, I've got the thing that's going to make you, you know, stand out on LinkedIn. So tell us, what is it about your approach that just really changes the game?
Well, being on LinkedIn for the past 20 years, the book really kind of talks about my experience and how I've used AI technology in the last couple of years to actually not only enhance my profile, but become a thought leader in my industry.
So when you're, if someone is hearing this and they're saying, okay, I'm going to get the book, right? But let's give them a little taste. Tell us, what is the one thing you would have them start thinking about when it comes to their LinkedIn experience or their personal brand or how they're coming across so that they can achieve that thought leadership in their industry?
Well, it's very simple. And we can start with your profile, Alyssa, if you'd like. And I think that's
sure.
Important. A lot of people need to look at some of the key things, of course, is having a professional headshot, which you have. But also they forget the background image, which also is crucial to any type of success. Because it really is, a way to showcase. It's like your billboard, and you have a chance to highlight some of the things that you want to make important to people to know about you. Because LinkedIn is also a search engine, too, and people don't realize that. So when they're searching for a provider or service, they usually do type in certain keywords. And those keywords are crucial, particularly after your name. The headline underneath is going to make a difference. So by using AI technology to find the right keywords, it'll actually help you become relevant to whoever is doing a search for, let's say, a potential podcaster to be on the program.
So when people are thinking about their LinkedIns, what do you think is their biggest blind spot? What are they doing wrong or what are they missing when they're thinking about LinkedIn in general as a billboard, as you said, for their success?
Well, the fact is that they kind of either treat it like a resume or they're not really putting a lot of emphasis on it and they don't think it's really important. But the fact is that if you're job seeking and you are reaching out with your resume, well, once you get past the first stage, which is actually nowadays all analyzed by bots, you know, your resume is being sent out. If you get past that, then the first next thing they're going to do is going to look at your LinkedIn profile. And if they see things that are not or lacking, you know, and that could be an example of, let's say, you know, your bio is not complete or certain job history doesn't really match up to what you have, or even worse, you don't have any recommendations, they're going to pass you on to the next person, you know, and that's something that you really need to take, be aware of.
So what inspired you? You mentioned that you've got 20 years of experience working with on LinkedIn and building your profile, becoming a thought leader. So what inspired you to actually write a book about it? And what is one key takeaway that you want readers to get from your book?
Well, what inspired me is that I have a lot of clients who reached out to me to want to find out some insights. And I was looking in the marketplace to see if there were any books out there that really combine AI and LinkedIn together. None existed. So I said, well, I better write this because otherwise my competition will. So I'm the first to come out and do that. And I find that a lot of my clients who read it, who really are amazed that some of the tools out there that really can help to enhance their profile, though, to make them become a thought leader. And that includes things like using ChatGPT to create articles and content or scripts for videos, a whole host of things that really will help enhance one's profile and particularly in outreach, which really is going to make a difference. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a thing nowadays people should be aware of.
Let's go back to something you just said, because a lot of the conversations that I have on this show are about AI and what it means for the future of how we build relationships with the people around us, particularly our customers. So I agree with you. We have bots that are reading our resumes, bots that are looking at our LinkedIn pages. We're all, you know, subject to the algorithm, if you will. So how do we balance the way we need to write and communicate with a bot so that they push our content out and that they connect, that they put us through whatever standard, but still being human and readable and something you can connect with? Because I don't want to read a bunch of ones and zeros that speak to a bot on someone's LinkedIn page, but if that's what's going to get them out into the algorithm. So how do we balance that, being human and being optimized?
Well, AI technology is simply used as a tool. It's not an end all. So you need to really come across as being authentic. And authenticity is what's going to set you apart from the rest. So when you're taking information, let's say you're using, I don't know, let's say ChatGPT, and it constructs a sentence or an article, you really need to review it and put some of your own thought into it before you actually post it, because that's going to make a difference. And that's something that's going to set you apart from the competition. You know, it's a lot of times people are lazy by nature and they want to go ahead and do things that are easier. And, you know, it's not something that is going to help you in the long run, because AI is a great tool to use. It'll help you create ideas for articles, help you write scripts, and so many other uses. But again, use it for what its purposes is. Like, it's really just a tool, and it really will help you construct ways that will help your expression get out more effectively.
I love that you bring up authenticity, because that seems to be a premium these days, right? Like in the days of social media, and we're all trying to build these personal brands and present to the world in a certain specific way, appeal to our customers, appeal to the people we're trying to get hired by, and all of that. And I kind of believe that authenticity is going to be the thing that keeps us desirable by our customers, right? There's people out there who want to work with you because you're you, not only because you have this incredible stuff, but because you have incredible relationships and thoughts and ideas that people want to have and connect with.
Absolutely. That's the only way you're going to win the game in the long run, is to be authentic. And that's how you establish yourself as a thought leader. And that's what people are looking for when they read about you, whether you're sending out a newsletter each week or on a podcast. It just really solidifies your value to whoever you're connecting with.
So let's talk about, I would love to get your opinion on this. Someone came on my show once and said that their least favorite thing about LinkedIn is the fact that every time they get a connection, they immediately get a pitch into their inbox. In fact, they called it getting pitch slapped, which I thought was really funny. So how do you balance, like, wanting to have authentic outreach, wanting to outreach to people who you want to be your customers, being authentic on LinkedIn, and still achieving your business goals? Because we're all here to do business, right? We're all here to make money. And how do we keep that balance?
Well, very simple. When you are doing any type of outreach, you really got to optimize your profile, because that's the first thing that people are going to do before they even accept your invitation, for that matter. So, and yes, it's true. Pitch slapping is pretty much 9 out of 10 times I'm receiving, you know, invitations. And the first thing I do is that before I even look at it, I go right to the profile. If I see it's not even optimized, they don't have a back image or anything, I ignore it. I mean, simply put. Or I even simply indicate it as spam. And a lot of times when people keep doing that, the algorithm will actually recognize it, and LinkedIn will actually shut that account down. So it really is very good at providing these checks and balances for the bad players out there. Yeah. But if you want to be a good player and you want to outreach, you know, after you optimize your profile, instead of doing a direct connection with someone, follow that individual first. You know, you want to be able to find out a little bit more about them. And then if they, for example, comment or post something, maybe you can respond to the post and respond authentically, instead of, you know, not thanks for sharing, but say about what their post meant to them and maybe even ask a question or two. That's how you're going to get the attention. And at that point, if they reply back to you, that's when you can do an outreach. That's when you can ask for a connection, and most likely you'll be accepted.
You know, AI is really, I don't know about you, I feel like what this is like, we're in the age of almost like when the internet was invented, right? Everything is changing so fast. Our world is upending overnight because of AI. It's one of those precipice moments, it feels like. So considering that, and the way that AI is changing our businesses, changing our industries, changing basically everything we do, how do you see social media or LinkedIn or the online persona evolving in the age of AI?
Well, I think the AI is just at its beginning stages as far as providing value to whoever is using it. And I feel that it'll just continue to evolve. There'll be a lot more uses for AI. And I think that the 5 years, the technology will be a totally different game changer. I mean, look at it nowadays. When you want to do a search online, you're using Google, for example. And I think in 5 years from now, that will change. I think features like Perplexity will be the one that will be the main player out there, because it provides the information people are looking for, not ads, you know, not things that are going to go off base, but it'll give you the actual facts. And people are looking for that. They're tired of going through all these different ads and things that are irrelevant to what their search is, and they want answers, and they're not going to wait for it. So I think that's the future.
I totally agree. My husband was having a problem with his Microsoft Outlook, and it was like his calendar was, he was getting things on his calendar, but he wasn't getting the email notification about it. And he had spent like an hour going through Google and trying to figure out what was wrong, and went on the Microsoft website to figure it out. And finally I was like, let's just ask ChatGPT. So we dropped in and explained the situation, explained what was happening. And then it took us through step by step of what settings to check and where to go. And it asked additional questions, and we provided additional context. Within probably 3 minutes, we figured out there was a checkbox turned off, turned it back on, and all was well again. But we had spent probably an hour wasting time on Google, wasting time on the Microsoft website, trying to figure it out. So I agree with you. I think that we're going to see a change in how people interface with solving their problems with AI. And a simple search bar that is one idea at a time is not going to be enough.
Yeah, it definitely is going to make a difference. And I see that also when it comes to claims, when you're doing insurance and you're trying to get, you know, a claim paid for, there are a lot of examples where the insurance companies are using AI technology to deny your claim, you know, and you're pretty much at a loss. But if you use AI technology in your favor, and appeal the claim, you most likely will get approved, which most people don't really take advantage of. So yeah. I see there's going to be definitely a lot of room for opportunities for people to help with their claims.
That's a perfect segue, actually, because I was just going to ask you, what do you wish people knew about AI in terms of like how to use it to its best effect?
Well, I use it an example where I'm you know, finding with a retailer, and the retail has sent information to the bank disputing my particular claim. And I used AI technology to dispute the retailer's claim. And I'm hoping that will result, because in an ordinary person, you'd have to hire a lawyer in order to do these things. And I'm not saying AI is a substitute for law, but the fact is that it can give you a lot of good information without having to, you know, use that. Like, if I want to trademark something nowadays, usually a lot of people go to a trademark attorney, but why not use ChatGPT, you know, or some other AI technology that may help you along the way, and do it yourself if you feel confident. And I think with the technology nowadays, it's going to probably be a major game changer for a lot of people who are looking to, you know, enhance their business or deal with, you know, merchant disputes more effectively.
So, thinking about sometimes, you know, personal branding or building a brand and becoming a thought leader on a place like LinkedIn has nothing to do with your ability to craft content or craft ideas, or to have thoughts that are truly thought leadership thoughts, to work with AI. Like, all of those tactical things are there. Sometimes, though, there's a little bit of a mindset issue or a fear of putting yourself out there. So how did you overcome that when, like, you've been doing this for a long time, personal branding is the hot new buzzword, but how did you overcome that before personal branding was the thing to do?
Well, when my last book won an award, it gave me, you know, the title of an award-winning author. And for me, that's the ultimate third-party recognition. So I really didn't need to prove anything to anyone because I already did it. And I find that a lot of people, you know, value people who are authors. A lot of them look at them as the thought leaders, and I needed to establish myself in that place. And I felt this was the direction I needed to take. And that's something that worked in my favor.
So if someone is hearing this and they feel called to get started on this, what is the first thing you would have them do?
Well, certainly they should optimize their profile on LinkedIn. That would be the first thought. In fact, I offer a free profile optimization checklist. If you go to my website, linkvantage.com/audit, it'll give you a way to actually understand, you know, certain key features that will help you to improve your profile and help optimize it and give you the confidence so when you do outreach, people will accept your invitation more easily than before.
So one of the things that I was watching a video a couple of days ago, and it was talking about search engine optimization for local businesses. And one of the best things that you could do for your local business for search optimization was every time you go to your business, if you have like a brick and mortar store or you have someone you want to support, to navigate on Google Maps, because that tells Google Maps that people are going to this business and people are headed there. And it's a way to like boost the SEO of your business without having to do anything specific. So that kind of like hack. Do you have any hacks or secrets or like things that someone should do that's maybe clever and out of the box when it comes to their LinkedIn profile?
Well, certainly there's an opportunity to join groups on LinkedIn, because I think the more groups that you're part of, the more ability that you'll be accepted by whoever you do an outreach to. Because a lot of times you rely on second connections, but people kind of ignore groups, and groups definitely are very helpful in helping you to be part of a larger, base on LinkedIn itself. Yeah. Other hacks, of course, is recommendations. You know, that's crucial for any type of success on LinkedIn. Third-party endorsements are going to be crucial for your ability to be considered, real. You know, sometimes you don't even know the person's real or not. They have a fake profile. Yeah, these things happen. So that's certainly going to be definitely a big help. In addition to many other things, I mean, we've only got a short time in this program, obviously, but those are some of the things I would look at.
In those groups, okay, so I'm a part of a lot of LinkedIn groups, but I never seem to like, the content doesn't appear in my feed. I don't always think about it to like go look at them. Is it important to be in the group and engage with the group? Or is it more just like you're in the group, you can kind of see the content, but you don't necessarily have to go in and be an active participant?
Well, certainly it's good to be part of the group, which is definitely helpful. But active is also very good too. But the key to be active on groups is, instead of doing a text-based post, focus in on video-type post. And videos are really is what the algorithm of LinkedIn loves. So if you can do a video anywhere from 30 to 90 seconds on the average and post it to your group and, you know, make it not self-serving, but certainly, you know, that's going to, the members will value, then I think you're getting a lot more reach with that particular approach.
Yeah. I have yet to, despite being a podcaster with hundreds of episodes under my belt, I have yet to do any like short form video content. I'm still not over like the fear of being on a video camera like that. You know, I have TikTok and all that, but I have not yet gotten over the making direct to camera short form video content yet.
Well, here's a quick tip. Why don't you do an audiogram? And that really will be effective, you know, and just post that on your group. I mean, you have, podcast comes out, do an audiogram. We'll take a 30 to 60 second clip, and you never know. You get a lot of traction that way.
I love that idea, especially because I don't want my LinkedIn to become a TikTok feed, right? Because I actually, LinkedIn is weirdly like my favorite social media platform. I scroll on TikTok. I rarely go on Facebook, but I actually like engage and experience on LinkedIn, which is funny to a lot of people who don't live in like the business world, if you will. Right. Mm-hmm. What else do you think, like if someone is hearing this, they're really stressed out. They want to be successful. They're going to get a copy of your book. They're going to reach out for that checklist. What else would you share with them to make this a successful experience so that they can achieve some kind of incredible outcome?
Well, I would say that they should look at influencers in their industry and follow those influencers. I think that's going to be a big help. In fact, once you do follow them on their profile, they have three different options where you can follow what the most important things that they post, or everything that they post. And if they're really a big influence, I do it everything when they post, and you'll be notified as soon as they're posting. And then what's great about it is that if you can post within the first 5 or 10 minutes, you'll find that your post will be on the top of the feed of their post, and all their followers will have a chance to take a look at your profile if you can provide value to that particular post. And that's where AI can come in and actually help to dissect the information of the influencer and put it in a way that is going to add value to the post. And you'll find that the influencer may be very, may reach out and thank you for adding value to the particular post and maybe even help it go viral. So that could be a great tool to use to help gain traction.
That is such a smart strategy. That makes total sense to me. Like, of course, if you want to be in the same sphere as these thought leaders, make sure you get notified so that your comment joins the conversation immediately. Of course, that makes total sense, but it's like one of those light bulb moments.
Yeah.
So speaking of influencers, who else out there should we be listening to? Who else is driving a conversation, or who else should we be paying attention to?
Well, I guess depending on your field that you focus in on, I mean, I like Gary Vaynerchuk. He has really good information on the media and what's happening in the industry. Simon Sinek is another one. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are great authors who I follow. And I would say that you should look for the people who are matter most in your industry. And if they have a podcast, subscribe to it. If they have some books, listen to it, and audiobooks. These are great ways to keep up to date on what's happening and what's changing in the industry.
And if someone is hearing this, they're really connecting with you, they want to learn more, they want to follow along, where can they find you online?
Yeah, well, they can go to my website. It's linkvantage.com. And you can find information about the courses that I offer, as well as my book. It's available in Amazon and also available on Spotify for audiobooks, Audible. And you can also follow me on LinkedIn, which is a good thing to have. I'll soon be coming out with my own podcast shortly, so stay tuned.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating and practical conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Alyssa. We'll be in touch.